Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Now, farming was never part of Karen Moynihan's life plan until her father, a suckler farmer from Kerry, suffered a life-changing workplace accident. Well, 4 years down the road, she's managing the farm alongside her dad and has become a social media sensation for documenting her experiences online. I spoke to Karen a little earlier and she began by telling me about the farm, which has been in her family for several generations.
So I'd be the third generation. My granddad bought it in 1969. He was living in London with my grandmother prior to that, and they decided to come back home to Kerry, bought the farm, and started dairy farming back then. So they did that until they changed to suckler farming in the 1980s. And then my dad took over in 2012.
Okay, and breeding your own animals on the farm, that's always been part of what you do, isn't it?
That's it, yes.
So what about your own involvement then growing up and while you were at school?
To be honest, I had very little involvement. When I was very young, I had an interest all right, and I'd be down there with my granddad just at the weekends and things. But I suppose as you get older, then you lose interest and you have focus on other things, really. So we'd help out if we were needed. You know, we'd stand in a gap or we'd chase a few mad cows around a field every now and then. But other than that, it was really my dad and my granddad, with the help of my grandmother, really, that would have done the majority of it.
So your help was there. In case of emergency, you were used. But other than that, you stayed away.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
did they try to get you more involved in farming, or did they accept that you weren't really interested at that stage?
I suppose, you know, I have three sisters as well. So considering they had four daughters, I think it was just never a done thing back then, you know. So I wouldn't say it was necessarily encouraged, you know.
Yeah.
But we were always called on if we were needed. But to be honest, it was rare.
Yeah, to stand in a gap, but always it was always the wrong gap you were standing in. Did you have that experience?
Yeah. Or you'd be shouted and roared at, or yeah, whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. Which doesn't encourage you to go back for more, does it?
No.
So listen, talk to me about what happened then in August of 2014 when your dad, Jerry, had this accident.
Yeah, I remember it as if it was yesterday, really. He went off to work that morning, and I'd say it was around 11, 12 o'clock. We got a call to say he had an accident and he was in an ambulance on the way to Tralee.
Mm-hmm. Just explain to people, he had a job, didn't he, outside of the farm work?
He did. He was a carpenter.
Okay.
So he was working on an old house, and he was in the attic space and it gave way and he fell down through the ceiling, landing on his back. And yeah, he severed his spinal cord.
Ooh, so very serious. Did you know how serious it was from the get-go?
Not on the initial phone call, no. But then we got a further phone call later that day and we knew it was serious because he couldn't feel his legs. So obviously, we knew it was bad, but yeah, he ended up being paralysed from the chest down.
Mm-hmm. So very difficult time, and it's been a very difficult few years, I'm sure, since then. But he's a very positive person, isn't he?
He is, you know, and it was extremely difficult for all of us at the time because we had never experienced anything like that at the time. We'd know experience with spinal injuries or anything, so we didn't really know what the future would hold for him, but in fairness, he was positive from the get-go, really, and I'm sure not every day was a good day for him, but he certainly never showed it to us anyway.
Were you living at home at that time?
I was actually recovering from an ACL reconstruction. I think he collected me from the hospital 2 days before that. So I had just moved back in home for the couple of months just while I was recovering. So I was at home during that time, yeah.
Okay, but you obviously couldn't help much either at that time because you were recovering yourself.
Yeah, I was completely laid off as well. Yeah, yeah.
So were you relying then on the goodwill of the people around you there?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, in fairness, my grandparents did their best, but they were, my granddad was in his 90s at that stage, you know, my grandmother in her 80s. So it really was the neighbours helped out, and one neighbour in particular, you know, we sold a lot of the cattle and just kept the bare minimum, really. But he looked after them and fed them and all of that. So it was great to have that support around at the time.
Mm-hmm. But ultimately you decided, I'm going to step in here. What did your parents say to that notion, Karen? Were they relieved or were they worried that, you know, was it really something that you wanted to do?
Well, now, there wasn't a whole lot of consideration or conversation given to to this at all. You know, one day I just came back, and at that time I had moved back in home because I was building my house. And I came in one evening and I said, Dad, I need some exercise. The new job I'm doing, I'm just sitting down all day. I'm going to feed the cows for the winter. And that was it. And naively, I thought that was all that was involved in farming.
Yeah.
So he wasn't sure anyway. He told the neighbour to stay on standby anyway, but he allowed me to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm. And that was it. And you're working full time as well. I mean, I don't know how you manage to do that. I know lots of farmers are in the same situation, but it has to be tough.
It can be. I suppose I'm lucky in my job. It can be quite flexible at times. And then I have busier times of the year and quieter times of the year. And it just so happens that the farm is generally busy when I'm quieter in work and vice versa. So it works out well enough. But I suppose you don't always have a lot of time for other things, but you can always make time for something you want to do.
And what is the other job, the day job?
I'm an area manager with Aldi.
Right, so busy. You're busy, and but you managed to make it work.
Yeah, I think it's important. You know, I like the day job in terms of, you know, I'm working with people all day and, you know, out and about. But then it's nice to come home and just walk the fields and go up to the cattle, and I'm completely on my own, you know. So I do have a nice mix, I suppose, with doing the two.
And you've adapted things so that your dad, Jerry, can get around as well, haven't you?
Yeah, just small things like, you know, extra concreting, you know, where we wouldn't have had it before so that it's more accessible for him, better gates in so that it's easier for him to open. And then, of course, he bought a gator as well that was adapted. So he drives that with his hand. So, you know, all those things just mean that he can get out and about and involved in the farm.
Mm-hmm. And for you, you have his experience there on hand all of the time. Is that a help or a hindrance?
Oh, it's definitely a help. Sometimes we might disagree on certain things, but look, I often find farmers tend to have engineering brains. You know, they can come up with solutions to problems. I unfortunately don't have that brain, so I just use my dad's brain, and he explains what to do, and I just more or less do it. So look, I'm learning as I go, but yeah, he's there to help out all the time.
Mm-hmm. And the biggest learning curve then for you, is there anything that you look at and you go, I didn't know I had that mountain to climb, but I've got a handle on it now?
Look, I suppose it's everything, really. You know, I went into it saying I'll feed the cattle for the winter, and before I knew it, I was, you know, involved in everything, in the calving and the, you know, the rearing of the animals and the maintaining of the land, you know. So I suppose every single bit of it has been a steep learning curve, because generally when people go into farming, not always, but generally, they'll grow up doing it, and they'll grow up generally watching their dad do it and, you know, being shown how to do things, whereas I had very little of that. So I suppose I was just kind of thrown in later in life, I suppose you could say. So there was just a lot to learn at the time. And I'm still learning, of course.
But you'd have to enjoy it, Karen, to do it.
Do you? Oh, you couldn't do it.
And you do enjoy it, do you?
I do. Yeah, I do. I think farming is just one of those things. You either have a passion for it or you don't. And I think the day I would start looking at farming as a job, is a day that I should get out of it, really.
Because it sounds like, and I know I'm probably putting a halo on it here, it sounds a bit like your downtime to decompress, even though it is working. But then that wouldn't make sense on a cold November night when it's pitch black. You've had a hard day in work and you come home and you have to go out and face into the rain.
Yeah, not always the nicest. I'll tell you, March of this year was probably one of the toughest months I've ever put down, I'd say, with the amount of rain we got down here. But there is still something satisfying about being able to do it, being able to go out after work and getting the few jobs done on the farm, no matter how small they might be, and then coming in for your dinner and knowing you earned it, you know.
Yes, you physically earned it. And I saw, I was having a look at your Instagram account, we'll talk about social media in a minute, but you got the silage done in May and you were hoping to get a second cut.
Yeah, so we're hoping now 2 or 3 weeks' time we'll have the second cut. So again, you know, and it is probably social media helping me with my knowledge as well. We were pushing to get the cut done earlier this year because we didn't have the best of bales last year, and that of course makes things more difficult, but we got it cut nice and early this year. So yeah, 2 or 3 weeks' time now we should have more.
So now the social media presence on TikTok and Instagram, are you saying that you put up something and then you'll get advice and feedback from other farmers who are keeping an eye on what you're at?
Yeah, all the time. All the time. And just even from, so I will get a lot of advice on my posts and I'll get messages and things, but also just from me being on other people's social media. And same with my dad. My dad is a big fan of YouTube and the farming videos on YouTube. So you're always learning from others and getting little tips about what they might have done in certain situations. So I don't know how people did it without it before, to be honest. But yeah, it's a massive help. It really is.
And tell me about that decision to use social media then and to publicise the farm on TikTok and Instagram. Was that a decision that you sat down and you made, or did it just happen generically?
Again, it sounds like I don't consider things at all before doing them. But yeah, similar now again with this. I suppose it started with TikTok, and my sisters were trying to convince me to go on it for months, and I said no, because in my head it was just young ones doing dances. But anyway, lockdown got to me and I downloaded it, and I quickly found the farming videos on it, and I just said, oh, do you know, I'll post my own little clip of the cattle in the shed, and that's all it was. And that's just where it started. And, you know, you get a lot of support from people, and I've met a lot of people through social media as well. So, no, I wouldn't do it if I didn't enjoy doing it.
And look, there's a lot of talk about farming and how it might change in Ireland given our climate change agenda. Does that concern you?
I think it has to concern every farmer, really. You know, we all have a responsibility to do our bit. So of course you have to have it in your mind at all times, that we need to do what we can as well, because climate change isn't going away and there's no point in ignoring it. But look, we have to wait and see what approach the government takes to dealing with it, I suppose.
Well, Karen, it's been a pleasure to talk to you, and people can find you on Instagram, Karen Moynihan Farm, have a search there, or TikTok, K_Moy. And we wish you all the best and continued success with the farm and with the social media presence. Lovely to talk to you, Karen.
Thanks, Claire. Bye-bye.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.